Maybe you've been to Gethsemane in Israel. Maybe not. But let's spend a few minutes visiting this very important garden. Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he was pointing to them where he was going to pray. In company with his disciples, the Savior slowly made his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Passover moon, broad and full, shone from a cloudless sky. Just transfer you to the situation. The city of pilgrims' tents was hushed into silence. What does the name Gethsemane mean? It's a translation from the Aramaic word gath, shemani. This means oil press. Gethsemane, oil press, if you've spoken Aramaic. And this is an example of an oil press. Somewhere in this garden there must have been an oil press, and that is why it was called Gethsemane. When olive oil was used for fuel, food or medicine, it was prepared in an olive press. How was the oil prepared for the candlestick, the menorah, in the temple? You have two different kinds of oil here. Leviticus 24 verse 2 says, "Command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to make the lamps burn continually." The King James Version uses the correct word beaten. The olives were beaten and bruised by sticks until they start producing oil from their wounds. This was set apart for temple use, for holy use. This method produced less but purer olive oil. The superior product was fit for temple use only. And here we have a type where the olive becomes a type of Jesus, the greater olive with healing in its substance. Was this method of producing olive oil for the temple used in Gethsemane? Yes. Black ripe olives were harvested and the painful process began, heating the olives with sticks. The oil produced by pain were put into the seven cups of the candlestick and lit, and the sanctuary was illuminated. Painful process culminates in beautiful light in the sanctuary. Now, can you transfer this to Christ? Light was produced because olives were beaten and bruised to produce special oil. If these olives didn't go through this painful process, the sanctuary would have been in darkness. Symbolism of the oil, Holy Spirit. The light in our soul temple is the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot produce light, only darkness. Mark 14:32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. How did this experience affect Jesus? As the olives of the garden were to be beaten and bruised to bring light to the sanctuary, so Jesus was to be beaten and bruised by the sins of those he came to save in order to shine. He was a symbol of the olive. But out of his wounds flowed the oil of salvation. And now the light of the gospel can shine in human temples, your heart and my heart. As he neared Gethsemane, he became strangely sound. What's happening here? He enters the darkness of those who will be lost forever. And he starts feeling this lostness of the souls at the end of the millennium. And he became strangely silent. He enjoyed the light and love of his Father's glory from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus was about to step out of the Father's love and light into the darkness, the loneliness, and the cruelty of lost sinners. What a transfer from there to here. He was going to bear the weight of sin which he was to take from our fallen race. Can you appreciate why he became strangely silent? Guilt feelings which crushed billions of people who lived before and who were still going to live were to be transferred to him. You know, I can hardly carry my own guilt feelings. He took the entire human race's guilt feelings upon himself. Can you appreciate why he became strangely silent? He has no idea what is waiting for him. Will he cope? Will he survive? You know, sometimes we anticipate something. When we get there, it's much worse. When in conflict with men who were inspired by the very spirit of Satan, he could say, John 8:29, "He who sent me is with me." Father was with him all the way. "The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that pleases him." But something is happening here. But now he seemed to be shut out from the light of God's sustaining presence. Can you enter the depths of the pain here? In the darkness of the garden, he feels the excruciating pain of his Father's withdrawal and withdrawing his love from his Son. What a moment. Have you been there? And yours will be singular. His was corporative, the entire world. Here the ripe olive feels how the Father starts beating him because he was thinking of the sins, because he was taking the sins of the world upon himself. What a strange kind of pain caused by his Father. For God so loved the world that he gave. Punishing. Gave. Gethsemane. Gave him on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. As they approached the garden, the disciples had marked a change that came over their master. He was stepping out of his comfort zone from an eternity into my mess. Never before had they seen him so utterly sad and silent. I think they choked. As he proceeds, they notice that his strange sadness deepens. His form sways as if he were about to fall. He couldn't walk straight. He lost his balance when he entered your pain, my guilt and your guilt. Upon reaching the garden, the disciples looked anxiously for his usual place of retirement, that their master might rest. Every step that he now took was with labored effort. Can you see him in the dark moonlight? He groaned aloud. I wonder what it sounded. As if suffering under the pressure of a terrible burden. God in Christ groaning. Twice they supported him, or he would have fallen to the earth. Can you see this? Suddenly, he cannot cope. Mark 14:33, and he took Peter, James, and John with, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And only Mark brings out the depth of the meaning of these emotions. The word for troubled, ekthambos, depicts the worst kind of trauma a person can experience. Jesus is traumatized. And the disciples watch their master. They are flabbergasted. Why is Jesus traumatized? Mark 14:33-34. And he took Peter, James, and John with him and began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them in a pathetic tone, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." Suddenly feels your pain and my pain. "Please stay here and watch." In this, the greatest struggle ever, Christ desired their presence near him. "Please stay here." Often they had passed the night with him in this retreat. On these occasions, after a season of watching and prayer, they would sleep undisturbed at a little distance from their master. Until he awoke them in the morning to go forth anew to labor. But now he desired them to spend the night with him in prayer for the first time. Yet he could not bear that even they should witness the agony he was to endure, the greatest agony anybody has ever gone through. He steps out of his eternal purity into my sin-polluted life. And Jesus is troubled, ekthambos. He's traumatized from his purity into my mess. He's traumatized. Jesus leaves his undisturbed eternal peace and enters my neurotic, conflict-stricken mind. Maybe you've been in this disturbed situation. Jesus entered into it. He understands your traumatization. Jesus is troubled. He's traumatized. His entire frame is in a state of shock. But that's not all. Mark 14:33. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. What could this mean? Deeply distressed. And it's difficult to go to a lexicon and get the full meaning of what he went through. The word that Mark uses to describe the emotion deeply distressed is adeimonein. Adeimonein. It refers to a kind of feeling of being unwelcome. You feel that those around you doesn't really want you to be around. And he is deeply distressed. Have you ever felt this kind of deeply distressed emotion? Adeimonein, feeling unwelcome in the company of others? Jesus experiences an unpleasant feeling of being unwelcome in the company of my sinful nature. He doesn't want to be there. Can you appreciate his holy, sinless nature revolting at this experience? He feels how the strange wrath of God is starting to consume and destroy him. And to realize that it is my sin that caused this psychological disturbance to Jesus. Because of my sin, Jesus feels deeply distressed, unwelcome in his Father's company for the first time, unwelcome with his, in his Father's company. Can you imagine this pain? For the first time, Jesus experiences this kind of painful rejection. Will we ever appreciate what he went through in Gethsemane for sinners like you and me? What about the Father's pain in rejecting his Son because of our trespasses and in order to save us? So the Father suffered equally with the Son. Two hearts broke simultaneously, the heart of God the Father, the heart of Jesus. Our sins were the most expensive debt ever paid by heaven. They decided that they would pay our debt. But at what a cost. You know, when we get to heaven, we'll see a man there with wounds like us forever. He left his heavenly frame, took upon him a human form, frame, forever, to remind us of the price he's paid for us. In this total unwelcome, painful crisis, ekthambos, Jesus cries out, "I am deeply distressed." And his voice carries to the disciples. For the first time, they hear these strange words. What an unfathomable love. Jesus feels unwelcome, so he will never feel unwelcome in heaven one day. He feels unwelcome so that we can feel welcome in heaven forever. Everything was paid by Christ. It's midnight in a garden that is different from the Garden of Eden. Jesus is deeply distressed. When he experienced God's displeasure with sin, another cry pierces the night air. Mark 14:34, "My soul is exceedingly sorrow," a new emotion, "even to death. I'm so heartbroken, I want to die," he cries out that night. What does the words mean? Exceeding sorrowful. The word Mark uses is perilupos. Maybe you've heard the word peri, peripheral. And then lupos. Peri means around, and lupos means pain. So he is surrounded by pain. What kind of pain? Jesus cries out that he is caught up, surrounded by the most intense pain. What kind of pain? He is surrounded by every pain that was ever felt by every human being who ever lived and who will ever live. Do you grasp this? Perilupos, surrounded by the pain of the world. I can hardly carry my own pain. And in psychology, you will discover that you cannot fully appreciate another person's pain. But here is Christ, taking your pain and my pain upon himself. The pain that Adam and Eve felt when they left their Eden home, he's going through it. And I want to tell you, that was a painful experience. They've lost everything. Sobbing outside that Garden of Eden. he went through it. That burning pain of regret when they glanced for the last time at what they've lost. With fear-filled eyes, they enter a lonely world of thorns and pain and death. Jesus felt it. That's why I wanted to die. Too much pain. Jesus felt their comfortless pain when they looked at Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain. Has this happened to you, that one of your sons killed another one? He experienced all the pain that people ever experienced on this planet, past, present, and future. Have you lost a child? I don't know if there's a greater pain than the loss of a child. One dark night, Jesus was surrounded by the pain of mourners at a billion graveyards, crying bitterly, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." He feels the pain when they told the man, "Sir, we are sorry to tell you, but your wife and children were killed in a car accident." He felt that. Jesus was surrounded, perilupos, by your pain when you heard of the sudden death of your husband. "We are extremely sorry to tell you that your husband had just passed away." That pain that pierced your heart pierced him. Jesus finds himself in the middle of pain and cries out, perilupos. "Here in the middle of the world's pain, I feel like dying. It is so sore. It is too much for me to bear." He had a special body to be able to bear the pain of the world. He was not only carrying your guilt, he was carrying your pain. He didn't have the heart to tell his two girls that he is divorcing their mother. "I was living in a little town and the medical doctor came to me and he said, 'Man, I'm leaving her. But I cannot tell my two little girls that I'm leaving them and their mother.' And I had to speak to them, took them in my arms. I tried to appreciate their pain, but could not. The one just started sobbing. The other one was silent. She suffered later on." Jesus was surrounded by the pain of young hearts. Has your mommy or daddy divorced? Jesus felt your pain, my young friend. He was there with your pain in the Garden of Gethsemane. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knows it. Take your pain to him. He's the only one that can appreciate your pain. Jesus experiences our pain of loss. The pain of shattered dreams. The pain of disappointments. The pain of saying goodbye to a broken relationship, the pain of, and you continue. He took every piece of pain and it crushed him. In his agony in Gethsemane, Jesus becomes a Niagara and the Victoria Falls of painful tears. The very moment he cried out, perilupos, our pain came his pain. Mark 14:34, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." Jesus was baptized in the tears of yesterday, the present, and the future. Please remember, when your heart will be crushed tomorrow, it's going to happen, or the days thereafter, his heart was broken that very same time. He not only carries your sins, he carried and will carry your pain. Through all eternity, the created stars and planets, and now in the garden, our sins became a barrier between the two. The Father and the Son spent an eternity creating planets, suns, galaxies. And here in this dark garden, there's a barrier between him and the Father, caused by your pain and your guilt. When the scissors of our sin slowly began to cut that sacred bond, the pain was excruciating. So excruciating that Jesus cried, 14:34, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." Near the entrance of the garden, Jesus left all but three of his disciples, bidding them to pray for themselves and for him. With Peter, James, and John, he entered its secluded recesses. So three of them came closer to him. He also left the three of them at a certain spot, moved on, and asked them to please, my friends, please pray for me. These three disciples were Christ's closest companions. They beheld his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. That was quite an experience. They had seen Moses and Elijah talking with him. They had heard the voice from heaven, and now, in his great struggle, Christ desired their presence near him. God needing humanity to comfort him. Verse 35 says, Mark 14, he went a little farther and fell on the ground. The Greek says he kept on falling and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Your pain was too much for him to bear. Please, if it's possible, let this pass by. Can you see him? He can hardly walk. He weeps bitterly. He loses his balance and he falls on his face. He felt the pain of being separated from the Father. The gulf was so broad, so black, so deep, that his spirit shuddered before it. He was tempted to exert his divine power to escape this unbelievable agony. As a man, he must suffer the consequences of man's sin. As man, he must endure the wrath of God against transgression. Our redemption was the most expensive undertaking in the history of the universe, as well as the most dangerous, the most painful. Does the story of Christ merit our study? It is so important. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. We're admonished to meditate on the few last hours of his life. As we thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us, our confidence in him will be more constant, our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with his spirit. I need this. I need this desperately. If we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of a cross. In our next lecture, we will continue our study on the greatest event of all time, the price paid for our redemption. Father, thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you that he took our pain, our guilt, our mess upon him. Help us in this series to appreciate a love that we cannot measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.